want to intentionally do things that are not in the will of God. If you're saved, you don't. I mean, if you're truly saved, you don't want to do things that are out of God's will. And what a blessing and encouragement is when we hear from the Word of God and we hear from good songs of Zion and things that encourage our heart. We need all the encouragement we can get. Amen. In this day, we need it more and more than we ever have before. I mean, Lord God, some of the things that's already been mentioned here this morning is going on in our government. I mean, Lord, we need some encouragement. There's no telling. In fact, a couple of years ago, watch night service, my cousin Alan Lindsay preached, and he said, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. He preached a watch night service. He said, we don't know what's going to happen this next coming year. And man, were we surprised what's happened this past year, ain't we? Yeah. Amen. I mean, you know, we don't, but God's the one that's in control of it all. And God knows what the future holds. If you want to stand as we read the scripture, Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. The Bible says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in the word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for this time you've given us, Lord. And I pray, God, that you just bless and everything that's done. Thank you, Lord, for the good move of the Spirit of God already in the choir singing. We thank you, Lord, for that. And God, I pray, Lord, that you just help us, Lord, as we look in your word, God, to draw close to you. Lord, you know each need. You know each heart. God, I pray if there's one that's never been saved, Lord, God, I pray you deal with their heart and they get saved before it's too late. God, that once walking afar off from you, Lord, I pray they'll get things right with you. And God, we just pray, Lord, everything that's done, Lord, you just have your stamp of approval upon it, Lord. And God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to look and see what you'd have us to do in the days to come. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy and your love, and most of all, for your salvation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. This passage of Scripture, maybe some familiar verses. I've even continuing on down in the chapter, I like how that in the book of Proverbs, that the preacher, if you will, puts it straight. Amen. He says for us to, you know, to keep straight on. You know, there's sin and there's temptations. There's things that we have all the time. But he tells us to avoid it and pass not by it. Turn from it and pass. That's good counsel right there. Amen. That's good wisdom from the book of Proverbs. You can get a lot of good wisdom through the book of Proverbs. We mentioned in the RU meetings that a good thing to do is, and I've heard this even before, we found out about that program, you know. You got 30 days in a month, some with 31. I'll get that rhyme however it goes, and one with 28 or 29. And but anyhow, you got 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Good thing to do, read a chapter a day out of the book of Proverbs. And you could correlate that with the day of the month, and that'll be a blessing. You can get some good wisdom anywhere you open. Praise God from God's Word. You can get some good wisdom. We ought to be students of the Bible. We ought to be students of God's Word and study His Word. The Bible tells us that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman, didn't say a preacher, it said a workman, and rightly dividing the Word of truth. Amen. But here, I want you to notice down in verse 18, we want to take our text from verse 18 this morning. We'll look at some other verses of Scripture, about all of them that we've looked at, and then further on down in this chapter a little bit. But I want to draw your attention to verse 18 for a few moments. The Bible says, but the path of the just is as the shining light. And it says that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Ain't that a blessing? That's what Scripture said. The path of the just. That's those that are saved, those that are born again. It says there, hey, the path of the just is a shining light. You know, we have that opportunity, we have that privilege for our light to shine for Jesus Christ. Amen. And what a blessing it is when that light is shining more and more as the day of the Lord approaches, more and more unto a perfect day. You know what the devil would like? He'd like for your light to shine less and less. Amen. Ain't that right? I mean, the devil would like for our lights to go plumb out. Amen. Amen. We sing that song sometimes. We've sung it here at Gospel Way for many years. The flame has flickered, but the fire's never gone out. He'd like for that flame to flicker and completely die out. Praise God, if you're saved, it's not going to completely die out, is it? Amen. Devil, he'd like for us to just continually be getting further and further away from shining that light. Because, see, that light is not our light, it's His light. And that light is always pointing folks to Jesus Christ. I remember a preacher said one time, he said, there's a place in the Bible, he said, it seems like it contradicts itself, and it took me a little bit to try to figure it out and understand. It says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then he said to the church, he said to those that are saved, ye are the light of the world. Now, that's not a contradiction. I mean, God's Word, you rightly divide. You've got to rightly divide the Word of God. He's the light of the world, but we're also the light of the world. But you see, it's not our light, it's His light, praise God, that we're shining. We're shining the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Ain't that a blessing? Hey, and then somebody else said, you think about it, the light of this world, we could say the light of this world. Most of the time we'd say the light of this world is the sun. But when the day gets dark, it's not the sun, it's the moon. Ain't that right? At night, you don't see the sun, you see the moon. But you know what? The moon doesn't have no light of itself. Ain't that a good illustration? You think about it, the moon, it doesn't have no light of itself. It's a reflection off of the sun, S-U-N. But us as God's people ought to be a reflection of the sun, S-O-N, the Son of God. And during these dark days, during this time, and as the gets closer and closer to the coming of the Lord in the last days, it's dark days. And so we're the light of this world. We're the light that the Lord's left. He hasn't chose to proclaim the message by angels across the skies. He hasn't chose to raise up prophets today. He hasn't chose to have any apostles still alive over 2,000 years old today. Amen. He hasn't chosen to do that. It's just us. We're just little satellites shining the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ain't that good? Amen. I told Brother Tom before I started, I said, if that Lord leads me, I'm going to use that door, that new door as an illustration this morning. Been pastoring here for 3 years now, and you come in you come in, and usually if you come in the side door, you know, there's not much light at all. Most of the time you come in, I have to come in that front door out there. Unlock that front door, and just a few steps in, I reach over and turn that light switch on. Used to. Dark. You see what I'm saying? But, and Brother Thomas looked at this thing, and he says, one we're looking at, it's got a couple windows on each side. I'm watching the folks go by. Y'all don't even know what's going on out there. Amen. That's good. I can see if somebody's leaving too. But there's two windows on each side of that door. And it just made a completely difference in this building. I ain't going to do it this morning. I thought about, man, I'll just turn all these lights off and let everybody see how much different it is. We don't want to scare nobody. But if you turn all the lights off in this, I mean the light in the vestibule, these lights here, you can step in this door right here and you can see a little light going down the aisle. You can step in this door right here now and see a little light through those two little windows back there. You can see a little light coming up the aisle. Ain't much, but it's a little light, completely different. Go into the building sometimes now and be back there at the back. I don't even turn that vestibule. I was telling Sister Angie that. I said, you come in and you always had to have that vestibule light on back there. But now if you're here in the daytime, you don't have to have it on. A little bit of light coming through. A little bit of light shining there. You know, man, that song the kids sing, This Little Light of Mine, boy, that's got a lot of scripture in it. Amen. That's got a lot of truth to it. It might not be no big light. And God may not be looking for you to be no big light. Because really, He ain't looking for you to be the light anyhow. He's the light. Amen? And if you are, quote unquote, some big light, you're just shining a lot of light of His light. Amen? Amen. So there's really not no big lights and little lights. Amen? We've just all got a light. We need to shine, praise God. And I'll tell you what, in this day and time, according to this scripture right here and all through the Word of God, we need to be shining that light brighter. And in fact, I'll tell you what, that light's going to be seen. The more there's darkness, the more that little light's going to shine out for Jesus Christ. I mean, just one little light, you know. You ever been to some of them candlelight services? And you light a candle here, light somebody else's candle. I mean, you start out, I mean, it ain't much. But you don't miss it, buddy. If there's just one candle on, all the lights is out, there's one candle on, you'll know where it's at, buddy. You'll know who's got it. You'll know who's got that candle lit. I praise God. I hope that we all do. I hope we all are lighting a candle for Jesus Christ, so to speak. Shining our light for the Lord, which is His light. Let me give you just a few things. I hope it'll help us this morning. Shining, I'm talking about shining more and more. First of all, think about His light. His light will shine brighter. It'll shine more and more, but we're going to have to do some things ourselves. We're going to have to trim that lamp, if you will. The Bible talks about those 10 virgins. What happened? 5 of them, their lights went out. They didn't have no light at all. There was no oil in their lamp. They had no light at all, but 5 of them did have light. His light will shine brighter, first of all, when we get sin out of the way. His light will shine brighter when we get sin out of the way. Look at verse 14 and 15. The Bible says in verse 14, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass by it. Turn from it and pass away." Like I said a while ago, boy, that's good instruction. Just avoid it. Just pass by it. Don't put that temptation out there in front of it. There's a lot of things in this day and time, a lot of temptations, a lot of things out there. And I tell you what, the devil's putting more and more out there. He's using more and more tools. He's got more and more things to his advantage, if you will. Of course, we still we can have more and more if we'll just shine more and more. Amen? But you think about, I mean, all the stuff that, all the pornography that's out there. I'll tell you, and it's sad that most homes can get it right there in their house on that computer. Most homes can get that mess, and sometimes you can get into some mess and not even know what you're getting into. When you put a search for something, Johnny was talking about that the other day, you put a search in for something, you don't put a space or you whatever, the two words go together or something, you'll get something that you don't want to see. Or the devil does want you to see, actually. And, I mean, there's all types of things. There's all types of things that are pulling at our attention that are keeping. And I'll tell you what, every one of those things, our light is going to be less and less. Our light is going to be dimmer and dimmer. It's not going to be shining more and more. Reminded of the story, thinking about the... Let me give you another thought about those windows out there. We first brought that in, and it wasn't, the glass wasn't clean. And it's not, maybe, I see a little couple streaks here and there now, but I mean, it's not, but in other words, you've been sitting in a warehouse and got dust all over and everything. And Joshua went and cleaned that one day after it was here, went and cleaned those windows while he was working on this other platform for the sound room over there, and cleaned it up, you know. And you can see better when you look out now than what you could with the dirty windows and everything. And I'll never forget the story that they tell about two neighbors. And said the one always complained about her neighbor. He said she always washed them clothes, and she'd put them out on the line out there, and she could see them clearly through her kitchen window. And she couldn't understand why that woman washed those clothes, but she didn't get them clean. She said, "Those clothes, every time I look out my kitchen window, I look at those clothes and they're dirty." But one day she did some spring house cleaning and she cleaned up all the windows in her house, and the next time she looked out there, she didn't see dirty clothes. Because it wasn't that the clothes was dirty out there, but her windows was dirty. Amen? You ever heard the old, It's not me. I mean, it's not my brother. It's not my sister. But it's me, oh Lord, stands in need of prayer. Brother Kip reminded me of a story that I heard many years ago. There's been some great preachers and been some great things done in a lot of different churches that I don't even know if you feel the touch of God in some of them today in Cherville, but there's been many churches, not just independent, but Southern Baptists, had the touch of God on them. And they've seen souls saved and seen God move in a great way. And I was mentioning to them about B.R. Lakin being over at Faith Baptist when it first started in the old storefront building back in the 60s, I guess it was, under Brother Green. But anyhow, he was telling me, he reminded me of a story. I'd heard it before. He was telling me about a time that at First Baptist in Cherville, that they had Percy Ray come in and preach. Now, old Percy Ray, if you ever heard him or some tapes of him, he's done going to be with the Lord, but I knew he was around some other churches, and I've heard him before. He was once started Camp Zion down there in Myrtle, Mississippi. And I mean, he was a powerful preacher, had the touch of God on him. And I mean, he would pray hours upon hours upon hours a day and pray for the touch of God and the move of the Spirit of God. There was some services he was in. Sometimes he'd say, we got about two over here needs to get saved, and we got three over here needs to get saved. I mean, God'd just touch him, and then you'd see a couple of them get saved. You'd see some people get right with God. But he said he was at First Baptist in Cherville preaching a meeting. He said the first night, he got up there the first night, he said, there's sin in this church. He said, there's sin in this church. There's some people that needs to get right with God, and we ain't going to have revival until you get the sin out. And he started preaching, and then he gave the invitation. He said, we're going to hold this thing open until God moves and the folks get right with God. He said there were several folks started coming and getting things right with God, and seemed like everyone had come down. He'd say, no, we ain't done yet. There's somebody else. And he kept saying, there's somebody else. There's one person. There's one more person. There's somebody else needs to come get things right with God. And then there was a man left about halfway back, come down the aisle, and he didn't even get all the way down now. He got about halfway and got down on his knees. We're talking First Baptist Church here in Cherville. Got down on his knees and crawled his way down to the altar in repentance because of the sin in his life. And he said, he told the pastor and told Brother Percy Ray, he testified, he said, week after week, I've been taking money out of the offering plate. He said, I've been stealing money from this church for years. He said, but I want to get things right with God. I want to get the sin out of my life. And he said, after that, man, they had revival. Amen. Folks got saved. God moved in a great and mighty way. But you know what? Sin was in the camp. Sin was in the camp, and the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ couldn't shine, and souls couldn't get saved until sin got out of the way. It said, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and walk away. The Bible tells us down there in verse 19, it says the way of the wicked. It says there the path of the just is a shining light in verse 18. And that it shineth more and more into the perfect day. But it says in verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what. Know not, excuse me, at what they stumble. Think about that. I mean, here with no light, you're going to fall around. You're going to stumble. You're not going to be able to walk. I not familiar with the building and things like that. My father-in-law was helping with the little platform back there for the sound room, and he came in the building, and I can't remember if I didn't turn the lights on or turned them on and back off or something or other, and he bumped into the He bumped into this here. He didn't fall. I didn't tell you about that, Mel. I'm sorry. But he didn't fall. But he kind of stumbled a little bit. Because he didn't see that. He didn't see where the platform was sticking out there. You know what? You might not fall completely because of the sin in your life. But I guarantee you're going to be stumbling. Guarantee it's going to cause you to stumble. When we're not doing right and we're not living right and we got sin in our life, it's going to cause us to stumble because we don't have the light of the Word of God directing us. And we don't have the light of the Word of God guiding us in our life. But boy, praise be to God, it's what ought to be happening. It ought to be shining more and more. It ought to be shining more and more. Down in verse 25, it says, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Praise God. We still believe in the straight and narrow way, don't we? Amen. We still believe in the right path. He goes on to say, ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Problem in this day and for many days. The problem with folks is being blown about by every wind of doctrine. Being up and down and blown this way and that way. But the Lord says, there's some things you need to stay right on with. You don't need to turn to the right. You don't need to turn to the left. We don't need to look for a new way. We don't need to look for a new path. We don't need to look for a new method. We need to stick with what works. We need to stick with the old stuff, if you will. Jeremiah said, hey, ask for the old paths and walk therein. We're to walk in the path of God where the light is. But when we get away from that, the only thing we're doing is listening to the devil. If we get away from that, the only thing we're doing is just going in the other direction. I tell you what, if we're excited more about the things of the world, we're excited more about things going on, other things that God ain't nowhere in, you know, it's a bunch of mess, and you're more excited about that than you are the things of God, the light's going out in your life, and you are stumbling. You're headed for a fall. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Say, preacher, I thought you was going to be all nice and sweet after coming from the mountains and vacation and everything and all rested up. We got to follow God, though, don't we? Amen. Got to follow His Word. And I'm being nice and sweet. I believe in preaching the truth in love. That's the only way we can do it. I mean, it's the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. And sometimes it's things that we don't want to fess up with. And we don't want to confess. And we don't get out of our life. But if we don't do that, we're not going to have the touch of God. We're not going to have the light that Gospel Way Baptist Church needs to have. The light will go dim. And folks will stumble. And folks will miss God. And folks will miss heaven if we don't have the light to burn and praise God. It's ought to be a lighthouse here in Cherville. And I believe it is, and it has been. Will be by the grace of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, it said, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto him. You see, it ain't about us. It's about him. It's about his light shining. And his light can't shine long as we got them dirty windows. His light can't shine as long as, you know, we've got things to hinder that. You know, I've told this illustration before. It's been a while, I think. Some of you probably don't remember it. I'll tell it again. I remember I was up in West Virginia one time preaching at a church up there in Summersville. And they got a lake down below there called Summersville Lake. And me and the pastor's boy and one of the deacon's kids and... I should have knew that was going to be a mess. Anyhow, preacher's kids, deacon's kids. Somebody asked why the preacher's kids so mean. They play with the deacon's kids. But anyhow, there I went off with them two boys, and we was going to camp out there and fish at the lake and everything. And neither one of them knew much about running one of them lanterns, you know. And under God, I didn't either. Or they had it so messed up I couldn't fix it. One, I don't know what the problem was, but we finally found out we had a light on the inside there, because if you touch that glass, you'd burn your finger. We found out. I forget who it was that touched it, but anyhow, there's a light in there. It was a burning, but the problem was the whole glass had been black. We'd got it black with smoke. You couldn't see that Coleman lighter was there to give us light. And there was light on the inside there. You couldn't see nothing because the whole globe, that's what you call it, ain't it? The globe, was black. You couldn't see at all. One of them boys busted the globe, and that didn't help neither. But I think we canceled the trip, too. I think we didn't stay all night because we didn't have no light. But you know what? There's some things in our life that can do that. There is a light. If you save, there is a light. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If you save, there is a light. If you ain't saved, there's a problem right there. We need to get saved. Know for sure that we're saved. Not be religious, and like we mentioned this morning, not be religious and lost. Be saved. Not saved just because you're a member of a church. No matter how long we've come or whatever. And there's people that, you know, we continue to to come and everything. The devil has deceived us. And maybe we made a false profession earlier, and folks have mentioned that, and God's done that and saved some souls like that in the past couple of years or so, and praise God for that. But I tell you what, if you're saved, there is a light. He's the light of the world. If you're saved, you receive Christ as your personal Savior, and He's the light of the world. Amen. Think about the mother that was praying with her daughter one night. Got down there at the bed and started praying, talking about Jesus and seeing Jesus in her life and everything. Said, "Mama, I don't quite understand that." Now, didn't the Lord create the world and everything? Isn't our God big? And he said, "Oh yeah, God's big. I mean, He stepped out on nothing and created everything. I mean, he's just so big you can't even imagine." The Bible says he holds the world in the palm of His hands. And she had sang that song when she was a kid, and she said, "Well, you know what? If God's that big and we're little, He should stick out somewhere. Amen. He should be seen through our lives." Boy, that's right, wasn't it? She hit the nail on her head right there. Not only that, second of all, let me say, His light will shine brighter when we get the sin out of the way. Second of all, let me say, His light will shine brighter when we heed to His Word. When we heed to His Word. The Bible says down there in verse 20, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." But you know what? If we're not heeding to it, we're not getting the spiritual life we need. We're not growing more and more for Jesus Christ. We're not shining more and more for Him. He said, "Hey, attend to my cry. Attend to my what I say." A couple of preachers, and I've never been in a real habit of doing it. Every once in a while, a preacher do that like right there. You ever seen a preacher do that? Man, some of them old mountain preachers do that. Pull that ear down like that. He ain't necessarily saying, "Are you listening?" He's saying, "Are you heeding? Are you going to listen? Heed to the Word of God." Dr. Curtis Hutchin used to do that all the time. He'd pull that ear down. Old Luther Carver from up there in Spruce Pine, he'd pull that ear down. Are you heeding to what the Word of God has to say? Incline thine ears, the Bible says. Say, "Oh, I've been listening to preaching all my life," but have you been heeding to preaching all your life? We can be a hearer, like James says. We can be a hearer and not a doer of the Word. Our light can shine brighter and brighter when we get the sin out of the way. Second of all, our light can shine brighter and brighter when we heed to His Word. Bible says in Psalms chapter 119, you know the verse. Maybe nobody's committed the whole chapter to your memory yet. That'd be a good thing to do, though, wouldn't it? But Psalms chapter 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." He said, think about it, shining brighter and brighter. How's it going to shine brighter and brighter? When we get into the Word, when we get into God's Word. Thank God for what God's afforded us here at this church. Thank God for the opportunity to come and be in services Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Thank God for the opportunity to have the Bible study courses and other things that you can have, that you can put in your hands and you can take and you can read the Word of God and you can study God's Word and you can show yourself approved. And praise God, there's more and more and more and more light. Praise God. Where that comes from, because it comes from the Lord. What's that? What's that saying, Motel 6 said they always leave the light on? The Lord's come and He said, "I'm leaving the light on." Amen. I'm leaving the light on. If you just listen to it, you just heed to what I have to say, you're going to have the light of the gospel of Christ. And most people know that verse, but over in Proverbs chapter 6, and verse 23 is another verse that goes right hand in hand. I mean, think about it. You've got a father and son team here giving you the Word of God. Most of the Psalms are written by David, and then Proverbs written by Solomon. And Solomon says here in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23, he says, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. I was looking over in 7. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You notice what he said over there in the text scripture we read? He said that these are of life, that the Word of God is life. You know, the Lord said when he was here, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are life. Amen. Praise God. You know what will happen? What's the opposite of life? Brother Pete? What's the opposite of life? Death. So what happens when we don't get the life? When we don't get the light, and we don't get in the Word of God, we start dying. And if you're saved, you're not going to... you've already been saved from the penalty of sin. You've already been saved and secure, and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you can be spiritually cold and indifferent before God. You can be spiritually dead. We got folks, and you know, we got folks, members of Gospel Way Baptist Church, they're backslid. They're cold and indifferent before God. Talk to them about things of God, some of them will come and be in service with us. 2 or 3 times a month. Some of them won't be here at all. But they're members here at Gospel Way Baptist Church. And what's the problem? They failed to heed to the Word of God. God's light is not going out. The light's still on. God's Word is still here. The Word's still preached. We're still getting in the book. We're still in the old time way. But praise God, if we don't heed to it, we're spiritually dying. Spiritually getting away from the things of God. Thank God for a good tent meeting that we had. And I've told you folks, I've got folks talking to me about that even up till now, just about a week ago. It must have been 2 weeks ago. We was gone last week. 2 weeks ago, somebody asked me, how'd that tent meeting go? We had it in May. And they're asking still, they're still wondering about it at the end of July. God moved. I said, boy, we had a good meeting. I said, we had a little spirit of revival before the thing broke out. Attended the best I've ever seen at Gospel Way Baptist Church by the members of our church, especially Monday through Thursday. And some folks had some things happen on Friday. They couldn't make it, and being gone, different things. But Monday through Thursday, best attendance I've ever seen. Back in a meeting at Gospel Way Baptist Church. And we had a spirit, we've had to continue with a spirit of revival throughout the rest of May and on over into June. But it seems like we've dropped the ball somewhere last month. Got kind of cold. Got kind of dead a little bit. I mean, you know, thank God for the good songs of Zion, God touching, blessing in the choir this morning and time every once in a while. We had a good service a couple weeks ago and I didn't get to preach and God moved in. Hey, listen, God ain't quit. I ain't saying that. And I ain't saying it's got completely cold and dead. But I'm saying we've lost a little bit of the fire of revival. Amen. We got a meeting schedule. I ain't gonna say we got a revival schedule. We got a meeting schedule next month. I pray we'd have a spirit of revival between now and then we really have a meeting. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
I know folks. I don't probably ask for a raise of hand. There's probably several folks to raise your hand and say you got saved in old revival meeting. A lot of folks did, and some folks do, and praise God for that. But I tell you what, it's not just that meeting. It's leading up to that meeting, God's people getting their heart right with the Lord, listening to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then after that meeting, putting things into practice and seeing some souls saved after that meeting. That's the result of revival. How'd I get off on all that? I didn't even have revival wrote down here anywhere. But we need it. Amen. When we're not heeding, when we got sin in the camp, when we're not heeding, we need revival. We need the touch of God. I mean, Lord God, Scripture tells us in Hebrews, and you say, preacher, how in the world did you just squeeze that verse right up in there? There's a couple thoughts about this I want to give you, and I'm going to go to the last point, and we'll close. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The Scripture says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, you see it? So much the more as you see the day approaching. We lose that spirit of revival when it's less and less. But when it's so much, the more. Now, I like that little word, so. The Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world. Amen. Don't give me no new version. I like it just like it is. Amen. God so loved the world. That puts some emphasis on His love. This puts some emphasis on more and more being in the house of God. More and more being among God's people. More and more being here where we can get some help from the Lord. In these troubled times and these troubled days, as it gets darker and darker and all folks, a lot of folks are stumbling, a lot of folks are falling. Why is God's people coming less and less? They say, oh, preacher, wait a minute, just the last days. And that's the way the Bible said it'd be. They'd come a falling away. Well, I'll tell you this morning, you don't have to fall away with it. You don't have to fall away with the rest of the crowd. Just because in the last days there is a falling away, you don't have to be a part of that falling away. We can start heeding to the Word of God. We can start listening and following what God says in His Word. Hey, why in the world, when things get worse and worse, do we want to run away from God and run away from the help that we can get from the Lord and the fellowship of God's people? I tell you what, thank God for a loving church family. Hey, Wednesday, Brother Todd scheduled to preach Wednesday night. I told Mel, you know, we didn't have nowhere to stay Wednesday night, actually. We was planning on coming on home, but I said, we'd probably just take our time, you know. We'll go up there and ride that Blue Ridge Parkway, you know, see all the pretty scenery and everything. Stop by this and that and the other and stop me before I could name out anything else. If I'd have said Chimney Rock, maybe she'd have went. I don't know. But she stopped me. She said, I won't get home to our church. So y'all blame her that we snuck in on Wednesday. Folks are saying, what are y'all doing back? Hey, I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Some of our folks want to trade it. I don't know why. I have no idea why you want to trade this fellowship of God's people for the world, for whatever. I mean, there's nothing more important. We get our fellowship with God's people. Hey, this church will grow and it'll be strong. And we got love toward one another, and we've got it. But you can't love on one another and hug one another and shake one another's hands when they ain't here. Hey, there's something about it, man. I mean, you know, go out visiting, go out talking to folks, and they say, why listen to the TV? Has any TV preachers ever hugged your neck? Any TV preachers ever shook your hand? Is that congregation coming out of there hugging your neck and shaking your hand and saying, I'm a praying for you, saying I love you? You ain't going to get that. You ain't going to get that off the tube. Amen. There's always going to be some tough times. Always going to be some valleys. Always going to be some things we're going through. And it's not time for when we have those troubles and trials to get away from God and get out of the house of God. It's time to be here and enjoy that fellowship and enjoy that love. And you know good and well, there's folks in this building right now that you don't come like you used to come on Sunday night. You don't come like you used to come on Wednesday night. You don't come to Sunday school. I mean, and let alone go over to the nursing home or go show up here on Tuesday night and knock on the door and talk to somebody about Jesus or anything else. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I wouldn't trade it. Well, y'all done with that point? Let me go to the last one. His light will shine brighter when we get sin out of the way. His light will shine brighter when we heed to His Word. And then thirdly, man, this just goes with everything we've said. Thirdly, His light will shine brighter when we get our heart in it. Maybe that's the problem right there. We lost our heart. we've lost having our heart in it. Now, I'm in the book. Look in verse, here in our text, look down in verse, or in this chapter, down to verse 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Man, like I was talking about that fellowship and that love, and talking to you brothers and sisters, and all that. Hey, man, that's showing that we've got our heart into it. That's showing that we've got that compassion that we need. Like I said a while ago, we don't preach the truth without love. The Bible says speaking the truth in love. The Bible tells us God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We got that love and that compassion that goes along with it. It gets there, and it's there because it comes out of our heart. It comes out of a heart that we love the Lord and we love one another. The Bible says you know you're saved because you love the brethren. We can know that we know that we're saved. Praise God. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5, and I've hit around this verse all morning. Let me give it to you, this passage. Matthew 5:15 says, verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. That's what Scripture is. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto those that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We were coming down two times. We went on over to Cherokee. Went over to Cherokee on Sunday and was in that church over there, Rock Springs Baptist Church. And then we went back over on Tuesday. And the boys wanted to get their feet wet. They wanted to get out there in the creek. We didn't do the tubing thing, but we let them get out there in the creek there at Cherokee. But both times, you have to go over what they call Soco Mountain. And you go over Soco Mountain, there's a point about at the top of Soco Mountain, there's a big old tower. I don't know how tall that thing. I forget how tall that thing is. Probably 20 feet or more up in there. Maybe 30 feet up in there. And you have to pay to get up on that tower. But it says the most pictured place or most viewed place in the Smoky Mountains. And I'll tell you, it's a beautiful. You can be up on top of that mountain. You can see, of course, on the top of the mountain from the valley there, there's Ghost Town and all the rides and stuff. You can see them on top of that mountain. You can see all around, beautiful, beautiful picture, beautiful landscape, because you're up there on the hill, all the way up there on top, and you can see all around. I never forget, the complete opposite is a place I went in West Virginia one time, and before I went there, they said, when you go there, this is the end of the world. He said, when you go there, you're at the end of the world. There's nothing on the other side. And it's a little town called Webster Springs. If you have to go over this mountain and down this long valley, they got one of them truck ramp deals in case you lose the brakes on a big truck and run off. But as you go down, you go this way and you turn this way, and you know, you might end up blowing your horn at your own taillights. You're moving so far back and forth like that. And you go all the way down, and there's Webster Springs. Now, a lot of the towns that are bigger on the other side of Webster Springs, there's not too many, but most of the time you just go some other way to get there. You don't go through Webster Springs to get there. You know, you hear somebody ask about getting to a place, they say, you can't get there from here. You have to go over there and start over. Well, that's the way it is. There's a little town named Valley Head, but you have to go over another mountain and through a bunch of curves and get down into that little town. But I'll never forget coming one of the first times in a big old bus. We're singing, coming this big old Greyhound bus, and we're going around the curves and everything, and then you see the lights of Webster Springs. But it took us going all the way over that mountain and winding through them roads and getting down there, starting to head down the hill, and then you see the lights. If it's way up on a hill, you can see it from a long ways. You can see it from a long distance. That's what the Scripture's saying there. We need to be a light. Folks can see. And you know another way you're going to see it greater and greater? is when it shines more and more, just as the Scripture says, unto a perfect day. Scripture tells us in Philippians chapter 2. Let me get a couple more scriptures and I'm done. Philippians chapter 2. Getting amens on I'm done. I'm going to be done. I like old Paul. Paul gets to chapter 6 in Ephesians and he says, "Finally, my brethren." Writes a couple more chapters. Or chapter 5, I think it is. He'll write a couple more chapters after he says, "Finally, my brethren." But in Philippians, I didn't have that scripture marked. But Philippians chapter 2, and begin verse 14, the Bible says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." This is one sentence I'm going to read to you. I'd never picked up that other part of that, but it says, "Do all without murmuring." You got your heart into it. You're not going to whine and complain about it. You're not going to murmur about things of God. If we whine about it, it's something you don't have your heart into. So he says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation." You'll never stand before God and say, "Hey, Lord, it was real tough out there." He already said that in the book. He already told you in the Word of God it's going to be some dark days. You can't use that as no excuse. "In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." And then he says, and I like this verse, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." And then 2 Peter chapter 1, let me give you this verse and I'm done. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, the Bible says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed." There's that thought again. "As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." We need to shine more and more. His light will shine brighter when we get sin out of the way. His light will shine brighter when we take heed to His Word. And His light will shine brighter when we get our heart back into it. Bless the musicians, come around with the song, "Lord Knows Your Heart." I say that often, but that's true. God knows our heart. And that's not an excuse to say, "Oh, well, you know, I ain't coming, I ain't doing this, and I ain't doing that, and God knows my heart." Well, He does know your heart. He knows your heart's not right with Him. Everyone stand, if you would.